This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
The only person talking about love, man, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration.
Back. Hollywood Casino Press Box. We broke down the Blues earlier today with Chris Kerber. They get prepared for the Sabres tonight. Kind of weird, though. You just kind of show up. You're not allowed any kind of activity, and then you just show up on Thursday and play a game that night.
I like that.
I think it'll all come back to them.
They'll be fine. At this point, with the way they're playing this year, maybe you just try something new, like just take a couple days off for the holidays and see if they can have a better performance. It's been so up and down all season long. You almost expect them, after a bad loss, to have a nice win, after a nice win, to unfortunately have a bad loss.
So they'll take that.
And that trend takes you out of the playoffs. Just letting you know.
Well, with the hole they dug themselves.
Yes.
But 2 out of 3 on a pretty good road trip for the note. We'll find out. Maybe Jake Allen goes on one of these runs. He has definitely played better in the last 17 or 18 games. His goals against average under 2.5, so he's a little better.
And he was really struggling that first month. But after that, there was a stretch where he was pretty good, where Jake wasn't the problem. And I hesitate to bring this up, but remember, the last couple of years, it has been that month of January where Jake went into those funks. So hopefully that is not the case this season.
Have a program that you guys should be watching. Now, Plowsy, you use your cutting edge, and we do share the same taste.
I am.
The Hand of God with Ron Perlman on Prime.
I haven't, but I am all over Amazon Prime in general. We've done the homecoming.
You're Goliath, right?
We're going to start Goliath this weekend.
Chuck, are you into Goliath yet with Billy Bob Thornton?
I'm not. I've heard about it, and we need to get into that. What we just started doing, and I think if I'm not mistaken, the season finale is this Sunday, is this Dirty John on Bravo. Have you heard about this?
I have not.
It's really, really good. It's Connie Britton. And it's who's the main male character? He played in The Hulk. Help me out here. Eric Bana. Eric Bana is the male lead. And not to be spoiler alert, but it was a true story. And it was a podcast by a LA Times crime reporter. And then also Keith Morrison did a Dateline NBC story.
Really?
So long story short, it's this con man sociopath who is in jail, out of jail, and he's just a drug addict, and he's conning women, and he meets this very successful divorced 3 or 4 times L.A. designer woman who's played by Connie Britton, and he basically works his way into her heart, and her whole family hates him, and it's very nefarious. It's a true story. I kind of screwed myself over because I went and started reading the true story. So now I know what actually happens before I watch the end of the season. But it's really, really good.
All right. Sounds good.
Dirty John.
The hand that touches the hand of God with Perlman is so good that last night Monique had tickets to the Fox. And I was supposed to go, and I just wanted to watch this episode. So she went with Brooke and her mother. And Brooke said she was there for 15 minutes at the Fox, fell asleep, and woke up like an hour and a half later. So that's exactly what I would have done.
By the way, I was looking up Klay Thompson this year shooting 337 from three. Ooh. His career is 416 from three. He's still averaging 21 points a game. His career average points-wise is 19.3.
And his average is actually up, even though his shooting percentage is dramatically down.
His points per game this year is 21. His career is 19.3.
He's also shooting more this year, though.
Yeah. And Draymond did have one season where he shot basically 39% from three. But for the rest of his career, as you stated, he's, about 32% from triple.
Wow. All right, Charlie Marlowe, Frank Cusimano with Plowsy and Brian Hoffman. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Let's get to holiday tournaments. I tell you, I'm sure there's going to be some good ones, but I'm not into it. It was probably the first year in 11 years I haven't had a kid playing in a high school Christmas tournament, but I'm not into it quite as much. I'm tempted to go to Collinsville and see some of that. Merrimack is good. Coaches versus Cancer, not quite as scintillating as it has been. They have 14 teams instead of 16. MICDS will be good. Bob McCormick trying to win one at Afton this year. So
shout out.
Shout out.
I just think this year with the high school scene, there's a lot of really good singular players to watch out for. When you're watching Vashon play, it's kind of just a different ball game. When you're seeing Cameron Fletcher, when you're seeing Mario McKinney, and we've always had some really good high school basketball players around here. But and look, last year when you had Cartier Gordon and you had Courtney Ramey for Webster Groves, one of the first years I got here was the year where you had Bradley Beal and you had Roosevelt Jones and you had B.J. Young. So I think St. Louis obviously doesn't get as much attention as Chicago or New York, some of the bigger cities that are big-time basketball talents. But in the last decade or so, when you're talking about some big-time NBA players and Jason Tatum and Bradley Beal, St. Louis has had its share for sure.
The one guy I really wanted to see this holiday season is Jory Collins, the Billiken recruit from St. Mary's. But they actually are playing in the tournament in Carbondale, Illinois, a little too far. I think I'll just catch him when he comes back into town. And Vashon, they just got back from Florida, so they're not going to be – their big one's coming up against Belleville West. That'll be the Highland Shootout where you'll get to see E.J. Liddell go against Cameron Fletcher.
And E.J. Liddell is also so much fun to watch.
He is,
blocking shots, super athletic, 6'7". I mean, in high school, playing a lot on the block, but I can't wait to see what he does at the college level with Ohio State because he's kind of that perfect swingman type. He can do everything on the basketball court. Jory Collins also, just – watching him the last couple of years, he's one of the best high school passers
I've ever seen.
He's really slick with passing the basketball. And I think it's great that SLU is getting these local guys. You have Jory Collins. You have Hargrove from East St. Louis. Obviously, Cartier Gordon there. And really, with the Travis Ford era, it all kind of started with Jordan Goodwin, the first big-time guy from this local area. And they get Jordan Goodwin, and now they're getting a lot more guys from this area.
So, Plowsy, you think Illinois basketball prep side is better than St. Louis basketball?
Maybe not in the last 5 years, but when I was in high school and middle school, Sean Livingston, you had Daniel Ruffin, you had John Shire, Derrick Rose, Pruitt. I mean, you had guys that were absolute studs. So I've seen them all. But I think
so. You saw Rose in high school?
Yeah, I mean,
did you
Rose hear,
did you
Shire.
See the moment last night with Rose? By the way,
where they were chanting MVP.
Yeah, while he's at the free throw line, he's a guy who never smiles or acknowledges anybody, and he started to smile. He's at the free throw line. It's really a cool moment. That's a wild story that guy come back from the dead and now a star NBA player again.
But for the population, because Chicago dominates, but you have so much more talent there and so much more to pick from. St. Louis, the last 5 years, has been phenomenal. And I'm from an area to where I've seen the Shires, the Livingston, the Derrick Rose. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And if you go back the last 10, 15 years, I would guess it's hard to beat Chicago in terms of just the big-time talents. When you're talking about Derrick Rose and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, Jabari Parker.
Even Jabari Parker
too.
At that point was the most coveted recruit out there. And just going to Bradley and working a little bit in TV in Peoria for 1 year, and it was Sean Livingston's senior year. He was absolutely
unbelievable.
The third overall pick in the draft out of high school. I was really impressed actually by Peoria's high school basketball.
Yeah.
Not just the city, but the surrounding area. Or I'm telling you, this was 2003-04, and it seemed like every little high school
Peoria Manual.
Well,
been
Manual
dominant
was dominant for a while with all those Illinois kids, and they won 4 state championships. All those kids go to Illinois. And then when I was up there, Peoria Central with Sean Livingston kind of took the mantle.
And you're Bradley, you're Daniel Ruffin, who I thought was extremely underrated.
A lot of people believe that if Sean Livingston didn't have those horrific knee injuries, we'd be talking about a perennial NBA All-Star.
Because he would have put on a lot more weight and probably had an opportunity to start for multiple years.
He was so explosive. Plus, nobody passed the ball like that guy in high school.
Yes,
I saw him play against Kevin Lish at Collinsville.
He was kind of I don't want to say he was going to be Magic Johnson, but he had that
game. Penny Hardaway
I think he was 6'7" at the time. I don't know what he's now, but that kind of game for a bigger guard, a point guard. But I remember going to the Pekins of the world and the Limestones of the world.
Eric
It seemed like every school around Peoria, every little public school had a D1 recruit. That's what really impressed me about that area.
All right. Let's get a couple of quick NFL thoughts as we head into the final week of the regular season in terms of who you like the best. I think I'm still leaning towards the Saints because I'm not sure if anybody's going to go to the Superdome and beat them in the NFC Championship game.
I did check the odds on the Super Bowl, and the Saints were the favorite. This was over the weekend. I'm guessing it's still pretty
17%
close.
For the Saints, 13% for the Chiefs.
They were plus 250 to win the Super Bowl, the Saints, and I agree with you. Look, I mean, the Rams are trending down. If you look at the NFC, who's going to go into New Orleans and beat that team? And New Orleans has proven that they can win by scoring a ton of points. They did that early in the season. And then lately here, they're playing better defense. They've had some games where they're just running the ball with Kamara and Ingram, and Drew Brees is not putting up these crazy-type numbers. I mean, I love the Chiefs. They're so fun to watch, but they don't stop anybody. They don't stop anybody. That defense is horrific. So if it came down to Chiefs-Saints, if you're the Saints, you just got to get what? One stop a quarter,
yeah.
One stop, a couple stops a half, and I feel like you beat them.
The Patriots are at 12%, so they're third. The Rams are 11% chance. They are fourth. The Bears, 10% chance. Nobody, Bears
that's,
are not going to win it.
I hate to say it. That's the team I have. I'm a Packers fan. I have the Bears representing the NFC. It's just similar to the Ravens. Maybe not as good a defense, but I think Trubisky is a little bit more talented than the Trent Dilfer. He throws a lot of picks. I still think defense carries in the playoffs. I have the Bears representing
Charlie,
the
NFC. Isn't this good? A good bet here? 5% the Chargers?
Oh, wow.
To win it?
And they have a pretty good defense as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would not surprise me. The Chargers, what? They beat the Chiefs on the two-point conversion at the end of the game. I just think the Saints are the obvious favorite right now. I'll tell you a sleeper team, and I don't even know if it's fair to call them sleepers. Now, obviously, not playing at home is going to be big for them, but the Seahawks right now are playing really, really well. And I was reading an article where they have something like they're on pace for the fewest turnovers in an NFL season. They had a bunch early, and they do not turn the ball over. Russell Wilson, did you see that game last week? Russell Wilson against the Chiefs was unbelievable. He threw some teardrop deep balls that were just perfect. They run the ball, so they control the clock. They don't give the ball away. That's a team I think that could beat a lot of teams as well, the Seahawks.
Packer coaching candidates. What do you think here?
Absolutely awful. I hope they're just doing their due diligence of interviewing guys with experience.
You don't like Jim Caldwell?
I mean,
Chuck
Caldwell,
Pagano.
I think all of that is an absolute disaster. You can't ruin this one with four really good years of Aaron Rodgers left. You can't do a Jim
Caldwell.
Well,
do you go Josh McDaniels?
Oh, I know. I think you give Lincoln Riley $5 or $6 million, call it a day.
What about Urban? What do you think? Does he have to teach that class, character and leadership? Could he maybe?
Why would you want Josh McDaniels if he's already proven he can run a great offense?
Backed out of the Colts job. I think he's riding the coattails of Bill Belichick. He didn't have. I don't think he had the success in Denver. I don't like him as a head coach. Love him as an offensive coordinator. I would take Lincoln Riley.
How about
Edmund
Eric Bieniemy? Being around that creative Kansas City offense, being around Andy Reid for a long time, fresh face in Green Bay.
I like somebody
he's
that has
get
a creative
a job.
Mindset. I mean, you need an offensive-minded guy. That's the number one thing you need.
Yeah, I don't want like the Ron Rivera's.
No, you defensive coordinator, defensive minds do nothing for this offense or do nothing for this team. It's all offense for the Packers. You need an offensive-minded coach.
Well, how about this, though? What if you take into the account here that Aaron Rodgers basically just runs the show anyway.
That's fine.
Could you sell it? That's what I'm saying. Could you sell it as bring in the big-time defensive guy, hopefully take care of that side of the ball, have kind of your de facto offensive coordinator where that almost goes through Aaron Rodgers?
The problem with that is, A, it would depend on what defensive coordinator you bring in. If it's any Joe Schmo, no. But if he has a name recognition with success. And two, the NFL, for the most part, doesn't really have great success. Todd Bowles, Vance Jones. All these guys are defensive-minded coaches who are now almost out of the league now as far as being head coaches. So I think you have to find the perfect defensive coaching fit to be a head coach because we've seen a lot of them fail.
All right, when we come back, some NFL draft thoughts. Charlie's guy looks like he could go number one. My guy looks like he could be the second or third quarterback selected. But before we go to break, quick word about Dr. Michael Jones. For all of your eye care needs, see Dr. Michael Jones at Quantum Vision Centers, 866-260-EYES. I was there the other day, and that place is like Grand Central Station. There's a reason they're packed every day, because Dr. Jones is regarded as one of the great eye doctors in the country, one of the great eye surgeons in the country. That LASIK surgery he does, very safe, and it'll get rid of the contacts and the glasses forever. 866-260-EYES, Dr. Michael Jones. Oh, Brian, how about the Brewery Lights Tour? You can attest to that.
Yes, a lot of fun. Last weekend starts tonight, Thursday through Sunday, December 30th. Last chance to go to the Anheuser-Busch Brewery Lights, get yourself a free beer. Go out if you want to go ice skating, you can. They play a holiday classic every night there. Always fun. Drink responsibly, of course, at Anheuser-Busch Brewery Lights.
We'll be right back.